Thank you, Lord, I'm breathing. I know this is LSU country, but I have to tell you, one of the best coaches in the league is still Nick Saban, Alabama Crimson Tide. Tell you something about his recruitment. If you ever study Nick Saban a little bit and about his recruitment techniques, it's really unique. And he does different symbols. He used different avenues to get these top recruits from all the nation in. One of the things he does, he brings them to his office. The top recruit and his family. He guides them over to where they're going to sit on the sofa. And Saban sits across from them with a coffee table in between, with three national championship rings between, kind of gleaming in the light like the sun bouncing off the ocean. And one of the things he does when he gets to this kind of catchphrase, he says, "We win championships here. You see these rings? We'll get more of these." And he said, "I'll train you and I'll prepare you for the NFL. And then Saban does something a little different than what most college coaches. Most college coaches go visit families and they kind of beg a little bit, you know, to come to their college, present them all this. And Saban doesn't promise playing time and all like that. He says this. It's really unique. He says, "We want you at Alabama. But whether you come or not, you need to know this. We're going to win championships." Now listen, for a guy going to college who's being recruited by all the colleges, top colleges in the nation, he wants to be on a winning team. And he's sitting there looking at these championship rings, hearing a coach who's been there and done that many times and know what it's like. He seals a deal and he gets some of the top recruits in all the nation to go to Alabama. No begging. He's just giving them, "This is what we're going to do. Do you want to join us or not?" This morning, as we listen to this message, I kind of want to throw that out. This is what we're going to do. Do you want to join us or not? This is what we're going to do. We're going to build this new church. Do you want to join us or not? You want to be a part of a winning team. You are here. Yeah, we're on Team Jesus, but you're also at First Baptist Church, Ville Platte. We're a winning team. People find hope and healing. People find Jesus, they find salvation, they find discipleship, they find encouragement. We're here. Look, we've been working on this project for several years. We have 20 acres of land over that's bought and paid for. We paid for that in about 5 to 6 years. $200,000. We've raised $750,000 already toward this building. We had to use about $30,000 to pay engineers. So we have $720,000 in the bank specifically for this building. You know, so the invitation is, you want to join us or not? And this morning, as I'm going to catch on to where Brother Ed left off last week in Joshua, and now they're beginning to cross over into the promised land. I mean, it's a challenge. There's some things ahead, but listen, I want you to be involved. I want you to see how to trust God, even when you can't see where you're going, to trust God. And as a church, we have to trust God. We may not know the outcome, but God already does. And we're going to trust Him to get there. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I love what Hudson Taylor said. Hudson Taylor said, "The three stages of the work of God: impossible, difficult, and done." Impossible, difficult, and done. And that's so God. What looks impossible for us, God's already says, "I've got this." Then we begin to work, and is it difficult? Yes, it's difficult because we want to appreciate getting there. Nothing's given to you or to me. And before you know it, it's done. God blesses faithfulness. God, you can write that down in your Bible. God blesses faithfulness. Joshua chapter 1. Last week, Brother Ed talked about courage. So let's kind of get this picture as a recap. Maybe you weren't here last week. You were out and you missed the message. Wonderful message about courage. So the nation of Israel had came out of Egypt. They had been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And they became, some of them were unfaithful to God and not very grateful to God for what he had brought them. They were slaves and they were complaining because they were in the desert. And God fed them and gave them the things that they needed. And because of their unfaithfulness, God says, listen, anybody who's over 20 years old, you're not going to the promised land. He let them wander around till they all died. So now they were 20 years old and younger, except for Joshua and Caleb, who were the two of the 12 spies that had gone over when they first got into the wilderness to look at the promised land, and they came back with good report, trusting God, we can beat these giants over there. We've had God on our side, and the people murmur, and they say, oh, no, we can't, no, we can't. So God let them wander around in the desert for 40 years till they all died, and he brought the younger ones up. So here we are. Moses is dead now. Joshua takes his place. God anoints him as the leader. He said, be courageous and strong. He said, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And this is where we pick up over in verse 9 through verse 18. God is saying this. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go into and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all of your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you. And until they, too, have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, can you turn my mic down? It's pretty hot. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he is with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, they will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let us pray together. Father God, today, as we hear this message, sometimes things in life, God, just seem overwhelming. Seem like the mountains are just so huge and too big to climb. God, even as believers, it draws a little nervousness in our stomach and stirs a little acid up, Father, because we can't see how things will be done. Sometimes it's in our family life, sometimes it's in our business life, sometimes it's in our church life. And God, today we focus on walking in faith as a church. God, sometimes the vision you give us just seems so far-fetched. But God, let us learn from the Israelites. Let us learn today, Father, from Joshua and the people that you brought through so much difficulty and brought them over into the promised land. God, teach us today. Let it burn deep into our hearts and to our souls. In Christ's name, amen. So there's a few things that we want to look at. So last week we talked about being courageous and courageous in our own life. So let's think on a couple of things this morning. That really, courage brings confidence. So confidence to pursue God's vision. Let's take it as a church vision today. Church vision. To have the confidence to pursue God's vision, because it's God's vision, and if it's God's vision, God will provide the means and the way to get there. Do we have faith? That we say that we are people of faith, but faith is really action. Faith is really walking it. Not just talking it, but really walking it. Put things into action. That's faith. See, when you have the courage to take the steps of faith needed to achieve a vision, you grow in confidence toward God, in yourself, as well as others, gaining confidence in what you're doing and in one another. Joshua 1:9 says, I have not commanded you. Have I not commanded you? It's a question. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, when God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. When God is for you, who can be against you? And here Joshua is now taking the place of Moses as the leader of the Israelites. And all the older generation had died off over in the wilderness for their disobedience. Now Joshua had these young 20-year-olds and younger to take over into the promised land, to capture the people, to capture the cities, destroy them so they can rebuild their own. Joshua's leaving, probably leading what seemed like rookies. Well, we've never done it this way before, Joshua. I don't know if we can get there or not. Could you hear the doubts that was coming from the people? It's like, I know we trust God. I've seen everything he's done. But you know what? I just don't know. Rookie talk. Freshman talk. Yet with God on his side, Joshua knew, with God being on his side, being in front of him, being behind him, that he had confidence of the outcome of capturing this occupied land that God had promised to them. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep you from being caught. Joshua has seen God's work in miraculous ways. Think about what all the things Joshua said. So Ed said last week that Joshua is about 80 years old. Well, they'd only wandered in the wilderness for about 40 years. So he was over in Egypt when God set them free from captivity, from being slaves. What did God do over in Egypt? Well, he sent all these plagues. And the plagues were devouring the land of Egypt. And finally, he sent the angel of death that killed the firstborn son of all the Egyptians, or all those who did not put blood on the doorpost. Joshua's seen all of this. He saw the mighty hand of God at work. And then they were set free. So Pharaoh set them free, and they go up to the Red Sea. Well, here's the Red Sea. They can't cross. And Pharaoh was mad, angry. He wanted his workers back, his slaves. So he sends his army after them. Moses just puts out his cane, the old walking stick, in the Red Sea. God told him what to do, and the Red Sea just opened up. They walked across on dry land. When they got to the other side, the Egyptian army was right behind them, and the walls of water on each side came crashing down and drowned all those in the river. Oh, Joshua seen that. And he saw out in the desert. He saw all the manna that God had provided for them to eat. In the coveys of quail over the day. Joshua seen all of this. He had gone over into the promised land to look. He, Caleb, and other spies. And came back with good report. He was trusting God. And the people said, oh, no, we're not going. We can't defeat those giants. And they just wandered around. But even in that desert, God still took care of them. Gave them a cloud by day to follow and a fire by night to follow. Oh, you see, Joshua had history with God. He understood God's miraculous power. Oh, and when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, Joshua was there when he saw Moses descend, and he saw this cloud and the thundering, the lightning in the cloud, and God spoke to them. Could you imagine the fear that was in his heart when Almighty God spoke to them? They couldn't touch the mountain, they couldn't get close to it, or they would die. Joshua knew when God said, "I give you this land," he meant it. He knew that God would provide the means to get there. Great confidence in God emerges when we trust God. Listen, great confidence on our part emerges when we act in faith and truly trust God. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Can you just see? Listen, as we embark, we see what God is doing, and we're just so close on the verge of building this new facility over there. Is it an act of faith? Absolutely, it's an act of faith. It's a walk. We're wise in what we do, but it's a walk of faith. God has proven himself over and over and over again to us. How much more do we need to say we know that God is in? This is a God vision. How much more don't we have confidence in what God is doing? Don't you have confidence in what God has done in your life? That he saved you, a wretched sinner, and gave you an heir to his kingdom? Confidence in God. The second thing we see that God giving us courage, it compels us to act in faith. It compels us to act in faith. See, when people demonstrate courage and others are confident in what God is doing, they're compelled to act. It's amazing is that when God fills us with his confidence and we're so encouraged by what we've seen God do and we trust him, we want to act in faith. Don't you know when Joshua thinks about all the history of what God has done already, when God says, "And listen, I'll be with you, just go across the river, and I'll provide all the things you need over there. I'll go ahead of you." Oh, man, you want to act in faith. Joshua did in verse 10 and 11. Says, "Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, listen, Joshua wasn't stupid. He had already been there 40 years earlier. He already saw the giants. He already saw what was there. He saw some fortified cities. He knew what was going on. And a little bit later, we'll cover next time, he sends some spies out ahead of them, some scouts, to look around. And Joshua, he takes command as God had instructed him. And then he goes and instructs the people, prepare themselves and their belongings to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. Listen, Joshua is simply taking God at his word. He's just simply taking God at his word. That's what faith is about, that we take God at his word. Verse 2 and 3 says, "Now then, you and all these people," he's telling, "you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I have promised Moses." God planted this vision in Joshua's heart and in his mind. Then the vision had God's promises behind it. Listen, Joshua's compelled to act in faith, to trust in God's promise and his provision. Joshua knew the difficulties. He knew there were some things coming up that were going to be challenging for them. Maybe there would be some setbacks. Maybe there's some delays, and they thought they would get there in 5 days, and it took them, 20 days. He knew that these things would happen, and especially to move this huge group of people where they're yang, here and there. Yet he was determined to be faithful to God in the vision before him. Tim Keller said this, "A common vision can unite people of very different temperaments. Joshua had to sell the vision. He had to talk to them about the promised land. It's like, aren't you tired of wandering in the wilderness? Listen, church, God has given us a vision of something bigger than ourselves. He's blessed us in so many ways. He's even blessed us with an architect in our own church to design the plans. Come on, that how God is putting things together. We've had cash donations. We've had people who've made great commitments. We've gotten bids already on the building. We're waiting on two more. Listen, this is our opportunity. We have a window of opportunity to act and act in faith. And it takes all of us, not just a few, not just those who are, you know, who seem to have more financially. No, it takes all of us because we all are people of faith. See, it's time. It's time to move forward. Just like Joshua's telling his people, pack your possessions so we can move on. Listen, I'm encouraging you as your pastor, pack your possessions. Count the cost, but come on with us. You want to be on a winning team? Join us. If you've not committed your resources to God's vision, what's holding you up? It's kind of like this. Either you're pursuing God's vision or you're standing in the way of God's vision. You're either on board with God's vision. You know, some people like to wait. So, well, Brother Kevin, you know what? You're just drawing pictures and getting blueprints and everything now, and you're asking for donations. We know we went through capital campaign and all like that. I'm just waiting for the dirt to be moved, then I'll give. I'm just waiting on concrete to be poured before I give. Before I commit anything, I want to see that you're going to do what. Listen, I get it. You're walking by sight, not by faith. Whoa. So we want something else, but listen. The way it happens is that we all come together, is that we are united as a team. Not just a few, that we are united as a team to move forward. Will you join us? Will you cross our Jordan River together? Really, it's like a few miles from Ville Platte, really. Act in faith before sight has confirmed the vision. Be an active part of the team who makes this dream a reality. I like this little saying. It's based off of Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Faith, it does not make things easy, but it does make things possible. Faith. Matt Brown said it this way. Says, hearing how God is moving in other places encourages and inspires our faith for what God wants to do in our own corner of the world. Oh, listen. When I hear, Pastor Benji over at First Baptist in Port Barry, they're constructing a new facility over there. God is moving. God is doing great and wonderful things. Listen, there are churches around that just built over at Friendship and Pine Prairie, Trinity and Turkey Creek. Listen, they just built a few years ago. God is doing something wonderful right here around us. What is God doing in Ville Platte and Evangeline Parish? Oh, he's waiting for revival. He's waiting for our faith to become action. The third thing we see is that courageous faith persuades others to join the struggle to fulfill our vision. So Joshua had to persuade a group of soldiers to cross the Jordan to join in the fight for the promised land for the rest of the clans of Israel. We see this in verse 14. So your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay here in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all of your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord has given, the Lord your God is given them. So what's happened? So here they are at the verge of the promised land. There's the Jordan River flowing north to south, and they're on the east side of it. Well, there's three tribes, or two and a half tribes of the Israelite. There's 12 that Moses already allotted land on the east side of the Jordan. So they already have their promised land. So the rest have to cross over the Jordan River and go over. And there's some people who have already got established over there. And the city of Jericho and Ai and a bunch of others that they have to cross over and possibly have to go to war with to defeat. And Joshua is trying to, has to go to these three, two and a half tribes. He says, listen, your wives and your children and your livestock, all this, y'all can go ahead and build your houses. Build homes here. He probably didn't say y'all, but I don't know. I don't say how y'all in Hebrew. But I need your fighting men. I need those guys who are ready to go to battle. I need them to cross over with us and go ahead of these women and children and livestock and go with your cousins to go over and fight to secure their land. And when we've defeated them all, we can all live at peace. They'll come back. Maybe. There's no guarantee that any of them would survive. But he had to persuade them that this is the right thing to do for your cousins. This is the right thing to do for the next generations. And for us, church, as we embark in building, no one said it would be easy. There's sacrifice that includes. Sometimes there's doubts, and sometimes there's apprehensions, and sometimes there's nervousness about it. And that's okay. It's a little scary to think about, you know, the what ifs. Yet when God is in charge, he will make sure that we are successful. God makes a way. Isaiah 43, verse 19 tells us, I am making a way in the desert and storm and streams in the wasteland. God will make a way where there seems to be no way at all. And in the toughest of struggles, that's God's specialty. We're going through the toughest times in our life. That's God's specialty. Think about it. God is working on our behalf. He invites us to join him. God will make a way in the wilderness when, and cause streams to rise and refresh desert places. Listen, he already split the sea. He moved mountains or any barrier before us. He will do it. He can conquer any giant before us and bring victory to us. He can close the mouths of lions and give safety. He can open prison doors and set us free. He can protect us from the flames of jealousy and adversity. He can carry us through the storms. He can transform our darkness into light. He is the God of miracles. He never changes. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he goes before us today. Same God who spoke to Joshua, "Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This God has given us a vision. This God is leading the way. This God is making things fall into place. We must follow and keep in step with him. What more do we need to persuade us to act in faith with our prayer, with our trust, with our finances, giving, see the vision become reality? Listen, God is in control. Will we by faith and obedience expand our ministry to reach this community in this area of all places he sends us? Brother Suresh will be here in the second service. We sent him over to India last year. And he goes with Revival All Ministries, First Baptist Church of Ville Platte. We have ministries in India. Some of you didn't know that. We have ministries set up in different places in India. Oh, what a blessing. See, God is sending us all over. Next month, you'll get to hear from Chris Kopp. Chris Kopp is our missionary up in Galena, Alaska. Scott Belmore, we just missed him. He was down in for the holidays. Scott Belmore is our missionary on the campus of University of Alaska at Anchorage. You see what God is doing here through our church to reach so many other peoples? Wherever God places and sends us, we want to be faithful. It said, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to gather wood and divide the work and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. Next thing we talk about is just seeing where we're going and being solidarity behind it. Solidarity within the team creates a dynamic force. The unity among a group of individuals can change a life for the betterment of all. We see in verse 16 and verse 17. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Listen, the Israelite people were solidly behind Joshua. They could see God's anointing in his life and that God had placed him and put him aside to lead them. Their unity as a people behind their leader and among each other made other Hebrews stronger, and they made them a united, dynamic force. It was their trust, however. It was their trust and faith in God and their obedience to God that made them this dominant force that struck fear into the hearts of the inhabitants of the land that they were going into. Listen, word had already got out from on this side of the Jordan over into Jericho and to the other cities around that the Israelites were coming. The Hebrews were coming over here. They had heard about the miracles that God had already done. They were frightened of God bringing these people over. Verse 17, the latter part says, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. The people believed that God would provide their needs, lead their way, conquer what needed to be conquered, and give them the land that they envisioned. The Israelites knew God could not fail to deliver his promise. Even though from the east side of the river, they did not fully know everything that awaited them, they still trusted God. They still trusted God. They could already envision their homeland, the land where their sheep would be grazing. They could already envision the crops that would be planted and the vineyards that would be planted. They could already see it. And yes, ultimately they could see a having their temple built, that place of worship that they would go to, constructed so they could gather together as a people to exalt God. Verse 18 says, only be strong and courageous. That's the message that was voiced to Joshua by God, and the people affirmed that same message to him. That message echoes for us today. Can you envision the wonderful thing that God is doing? Think about it. And visualize it. We have a little drawing here that Brody put together for us. So here's the stage. This is where the band and myself and guest speakers would be from. Here, Chuck, I think this is your chair, right there, bro. But here we are. With all these chairs, I think it's 700 seats. They would hold. It's a gymnasium floor. Entrance level. So here you are listening to me preach. You're getting bored, but that's okay because right here is the kitchen area, and you smell the coffee coming. And you know it's not going to be long-lived, and the coffee, just the smell coming across is keeping you awake. Oh, Lord, hurry up, Brother Kevin. I got to get me some coffee. Could you smell? Oh, young parents with children and grandparents, you're bringing your children in. You come in through the front, you can sidestep right here through the corridor. You don't have to walk through the rain anymore. Just come on through the front entrance or on the side here, and you can come over here, and Caitlin will have this children area. It's all, you check in your kids right here at the door. A computerized check-in system. How fast and nice, huh? Come on in, and then your children will have nursery and all up in this area. Maybe you have a teenager, and you want to show where your teenager comes in. Just come on in here through the front door and go around the corner. Here's where your teenager will be at, this area, this student ministry area. You notice that this area itself is just about as large as this auditorium, with all its classroom areas, all of its open spaces here and stage. Oh, and there's a green room for our band to stay out so they don't have to listen to me twice. In the worship area, come in. Oh, listen. I can just visualize this kitchen area. Oh, the classrooms, some classrooms on the side for adults, restrooms there. Oh, listen, big kitchen area. Finally, we're not in this little apartment kitchen. There's some room for these ladies and men to move around in this area. You got to visualize what God is doing. You got to visualize the progress. Listen, this is not multi-million. This is not a $20 million facility. But it's sufficient for what we need. We can't go over there and build this because we have this size already. We have to build for growth. But Don and I were talking this past week. He said, you know, Brother Kevin, he said, I'm giving. He said, I know I won't be able to see all of it. He said, but I've got some grandchildren that's coming up in this church. He said, I'm investing for my grandchildren. And I think as you look, adults, we have to invest for our children and for our grandchildren. And I believe they deserve the best that we can afford, the best that we can do. Because this building, back in the early 60s, there was a small group of Southern Baptists at First Baptist Church of Ville Platte who were meeting in a little white building right there, and there's still a few folks in our church that can remember that. And they had a vision of growth. They embarked and built this building that we're enjoying today. Some 50-something years later, they embarked on this. Did they have the money? Nope, but they had the faith. And they united together to build the facility that we're in now, that we're enjoying 50-plus years later. Well, you see, 50 years, I probably won't be here. I'll be glad to make five more sometime. But I do have children and grandchildren. Who knows? They may be leaders in that church. This church that we're building, this first phase, this church that we're building to make that. What about your children and grandchildren? Are you going to invest for them? Are you going to visualize what God is doing and say, you know what? I want to be on that winning team because there's a generation after us. And if we don't do something, if we don't change, if we don't transform, then the faith that we know it can get very dispersed and even dissolve away. It depends on the faithfulness of us, just like it did 50-plus years ago, the faithfulness of a small group that transformed this church and made it a shining light on this on Main Street. We are the generation to put a shining light on Chico Park Road and reach further out to bring people to Jesus and to disciple them and to fellowship and to have what God is wanting us, to send missionaries out, to be the church that God has called us to be. It requires faith and obedience. And for us to visualize being on this winning team and getting there. Let's pray together. Father God, today, you're so good to us. God, we could be complacent Christians and stay on the east side of the Jordan and just wander around or God, we can trust you. And we can put our possessions in order. And God, by faith, walk across to the other side. Lord, we see that you will lead the way. You've already provided the means. Lord, you're already providing the things that we need. We have to just say, Lord, I trust you, and get there. God, give us the courage. May that courage just inspire confidence. And God, persuade us by your Holy Spirit to be united together. Move forward to embark on this building. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand.